center of your joy? Amen. Absolutely. I love that song. The hope, our contentment. Wow, right? It's a lot of meat in that song. For just one chorus, right? It's a lot of meat. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here, and thank you for being here tonight. We never count it as just a casual thing to gather together as a body of believers. It really is an honor and a privilege to get to be here and to be edified. That's my goal tonight, is hopefully to be able to edify the body tonight with something. I am so thankful and honored and humbled to be where I am right now. Thankful to APC for welcoming this country boy in 1999 and accepting me as family and allowing me to stay and be grafted in, per se. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'm glad that my family is here also. So let's turn our attention to the scripture tonight. When I was asked to speak, I began seeking, and I felt the Lord gave me something. I know all speakers get up here and say that, right? And but I just struggled a little bit, you know? I had the thought, I had the scripture, I had a few things to go with it, but I just felt like it wasn't, you know, going anywhere. So I prayed some more, and I figured, you know what? I'll just turn that into a Facebook post or something, and we'll see what else happens. And so then the Lord laid this on my heart, and he brought to remembrance something that I'd been dealing with. And so I hope we can glean together a little bit tonight, and hopefully you'll learn a little bit of something. So Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and forsake not the law of your mother." So when I was a little boy, I lived next door to my grandparents. It was a great experience for me, especially around breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and supper and snacks, you know, because I'd start in the morning somewhere and have breakfast, and when we finished that, I'd mosey out to play a little bit and get a little hungry and walk to Grandma's and say, "Oh, I'm starving, Grandma," and she'd feed me, you know, and then I'd get hungry, I'd go out and play, get hungry, walk to the other Grandma's, "Oh, I'm starving to death, Grandma, can you help me out," right? So it was wonderful for me, but, you know, they were worked to death, but I mean, it was a great experience, you know. I learned a lot. Things that I would learn, like helping plant seeds in the garden. You know, it wasn't all about eating, but planting seeds in the garden. Watching my grandpa work in his shop on the latest woodworking project he was on, and knowing that I'd better not touch a single tool. I could watch, but I better not touch a tool, you know. Or maybe watching my grandma as she was cooking in the kitchen, that homemade food, and like we were talking about a little bit earlier, she just cooked. There was no measurements, you know, things just were mixed until they looked right and cooked until they were done, things of that nature, you know. So picking up sticks outside before we mow grass, I got a lot of experiences, and especially one that I'm very, very thankful for was my introduction to coffee drinking was through my grandparents. I still have my very first coffee mug. It's about that big and holds maybe a swaller, if you know what that is. But, you know, it was enough for me when I was a little boy. And the list, you know, could go on. And there is one experience I do want to talk about that happened almost exactly the same way every single time. So on occasion, I would, you know, come home from school, ride the school bus. And if Mom and Dad weren't there, then I'd have to walk next door to Grandma and Grandpa's house. And, you know, just it's kind of what you did because you weren't left alone. Or maybe I would get home from school and Mom would give me instructions like, "Run down to your grandma's house and get this or get that and bring them back here to the house," right? It's waiting on you. But every single time when I would, you know, get home from school and have to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house, it didn't matter what it was or what the scenario, I would be faced with the question. After the hellos and all that kind of stuff, I would hear, "Did you learn them teachers anything today?" Now, my grandparents, they were children of the Great Depression, and so survival was their goal, not necessarily education. And both of my sets of grandparents, none of them even made it out of elementary school, right? So by the time they reached the age to work full-time and make some money for the family through the Great Depression, that's what they had to do. So education was not very important back in that time. But my grandparents knew that learning and education was important to helping their children and their grandchildren open doors and kind of get themselves into a position to possibly better themselves. And so in their own backwards way, they would inquire and ask me every time I'd get home from school, "Did you learn them teachers anything today?" Well, I've lost my grandparents, and so I really have no way of going back and asking them, you know, what exactly does that question mean? Because, as Brother Reaver knows, the grammar's not there. So I'm just, you know, lost a little bit. But I'm going to take a little bit of Dennis family liberty here, and I'm going to say that I don't think Grandma and Grandpa were completely full of error with that question. Instead, I think they understood what they were asking me each time. I think they wanted to know if I had learned anything at school that day. That was their goal. Did I learn anything today? Because otherwise, if you're going to school and you're not learning anything, it's kind of a waste of time, right? So tonight, I want to speak about, what are you learning? What are you learning? We learn in the Old Testament of an account in 1 Samuel 19 when David fled to Ramah, where the prophet Samuel was. And David told Samuel about all the things that King Saul had done to him. So they were, you know, he was upset. And so Saul and Samuel and David went to Naoth, where there was a company of prophets, the Bible says. And Samuel was there as their schoolmaster. He was kind of like the principal of the prophets, right? Samuel was there at that school of prophets to train those prophets to be prophets and to be priests. You know, he was there to keep them in line. Later in the New Testament, we read in Galatians 3 how that the Apostle Paul designated the Old Testament law as the schoolmaster, right, which will bring us to Christ that we may be justified by faith. Galatians 3. So another example of some schoolmastering or some learning in the Bible would be maybe the ultimate example of Jesus there as a boy, a 12-year-old boy, being left in Jerusalem by his parents after the Feast of Passover. And after searching for 3 days, Luke 2 tells us that they found Jesus in the temple courts sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. That's got to be pretty awesome if you think about it, right? The God manifested in the flesh, sitting there at your feet in the temple courts, asking you questions, listening to your answers. That's pretty cool, right? So what I'm trying to convey is that we have a lot that we can learn from our school today. We have a lot that we can learn from school today. So let me ask you again, what are you learning? Here's a few things that I feel like we can learn at school tonight. Learn to listen. Learn to listen. I think it's important for us to learn to listen for the voice of God in our life. Take a study through the Bible and you will see the Lord speaking to people. Different ways, different people, He's speaking to them. In Genesis 22, Abraham has spoken and proved to God that he's willing to obey Him to the very point of taking his own son's life. But before he could bring the knife down to Isaac, what does the Lord say? "Abraham, Abraham." He passed the test. Abraham passed the test. He proved that he was going to obey God no matter what. The book of Exodus chapter 3, God calls out to Moses from the burning bush on the backside of the desert at the mountain of God. And he tells him that he will go to Pharaoh and bring his people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Again, with Samuel in 1 Samuel 3, he's a young boy there in the house of Eli, and God calls him while he's sleeping. He says, "Samuel," right? He gets confused a little bit, he runs to Samuel saying, hey, what do you want? But Samuel, or Eli, catches on and says, next time that happens, just say, Lord, thy servant heareth. And what happened? The Lord called him again. And he said, Lord, thy servant heareth. Samuel obeyed and became a great prophet of Israel. And he went on to anoint the first two kings of Israel. We read in 1 Kings 19 about Elijah, who's fleeing from Jezebel's death threat. Right after the Mount Carmel experience, he flees from Jezebel because the Lord kills all her prophets. And he ends up, again, back at the mountain of God where Moses was, the same place where the burning bush was. And while he was there, he went into a cave, right? And God spoke with him, not through a strong wind, not through an earthquake, all those things happen, not through a fire like he spoke to Moses, but finally, through a still, small voice, God spoke to him. God speaks to us all in different ways. We just have to learn to listen. It could be a clear, audible voice like Abraham, or a miraculous, burning bush like Moses. It could awaken you out of your sleep like Samuel, or it could be that still small voice like Elijah. One thing is for sure, he will speak to you if you learn to listen. We have to learn to listen to the voice of God. We have to learn to laugh. I think it's important for us to learn to laugh. We're reminded by the preacher in Ecclesiastes 3 that, among other things, it's a time to laugh. The psalmist said in Psalms 126, when the Lord turned away the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then he said, they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us. Wherefore, we are glad. Right? Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 17:22 that a merry heart does good like a medicine. It's good for us. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to laugh, right? It's okay to laugh a little. It's okay to laugh a lot. It's okay to have and share a joy-filled moment. We need a lot of joy-filled moments after last night. Am I right? Right? On a practical note, I have encountered a moment where I had to laugh at myself recently. This past Friday, I'm a kind of person at work that I try to take myself pretty seriously, if you can believe that. And I like to do everything correct. I have a very conscientious, cautious personality, and I like things to be in their place and be done correctly on the job. And I made a mistake in a couple of situations that went to all the employees. In one case, I had the wrong person's name, right? Employee of the month got it twice in a row on accident. Not really, but, you know, I made a mistake. And then another case, I had the whole wrong department messed up. Now, that sounds like nothing to you, but to me, that was a big deal. Enough that I was frustrated. Well, my lovely coworkers, they decided to remind me of that. And they would, you know, they sent me a few messages. One person said, you know, they thought maybe I was sick that day, you know, because obviously something was wrong because I never make mistakes. And so I just do one of those face meet palm situations, and, you know, I owned it. I laughed at myself. I put a little thing on our private Facebook page and basically just made fun of myself. You got to learn to laugh. You got to learn to let that be a good medicine for your soul. You can't be so serious all the time. You got to learn to laugh. You got to learn to laugh. You got to learn, the third thing you got to learn is to lean. You got to learn to lean. I think it's important that we learn to lean into Jesus Christ and put our trust in him. Psalms 41 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and they shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. We got to learn to lean in and trust in Jesus. He's the only firm foundation upon which we can stand. He is the solid rock right? It's not just a song. He is the solid rock upon which we can build our lives upon. The oft-quoted proverb says, trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not onto our own understandings. At times, it doesn't make any sense to us, right? At times, our own understandings can't comprehend it. But remember, He understands. He is the one that does things for our good, even when we don't realize it. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. We can be reminded of the words of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 when he says, but as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. God meant it for good, to save much people alive. We can learn from Isaiah that sometimes things happen that we just don't understand and we can't comprehend with our own thoughts. The Lord is speaking in Isaiah 55:8, where He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that it should not return unto me void, right? But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. The Lord always, always does things so that His word will not return void. We may not understand it. The thoughts may not be to where our thoughts are. The ways may not be to where our ways are, but we have to learn to lean into that. We have to learn to trust. We have to learn to lean into Him because, like I said, His word never returns void and He always accomplishes what He pleases. We have to learn to lean in and trust the Lord. Again, last night's situation, we got to learn to lean in and trust the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens with the election, really. Yes, it's going to impact our lives one way or the other, right? But ultimately, we got to put our trust in the Lord. Ultimately, we got to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ rather than two people or two platforms or two ideologies. The Lord is where our salvation comes from. Not a platform, not a set of laws, right? Because we could be in a totally different country right now that doesn't allow us these freedoms. We got to learn to lean into the Lord because that is where our trust and that is where our foundation is found. Very good. We got to learn, here's another L, love. We got to learn to love. I think it's important that we do that. We learn in Deuteronomy 6:5 that we should learn to love the Lord with our heart, our soul, and our might. It's not just a passing decision that we make. It's choosing to love the Lord with everything that's within us, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and all of our might. We learn a little bit later in Leviticus 19 about how the children of Israel were told to treat their neighbors. So after all those instructions that they get regarding leaving corners of their field so that people can pick on that and not lying to one another, in verse 18, they're told to love thy neighbor as thyself. So then we have Jesus that comes into the picture a little bit later in the book of John, and He gives us a new commandment, something a little bit different. And He says that not only are we to love our neighbor as ourselves, but instead we are also to love them as He loved us. Can we do that? Can we love others as He loved us? We're to love one another in the most selfless of ways, even when we are hurt by one another. 1 Peter 4:8 says this, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Have fervent charity among yourselves, among the body of Christ. Have fervent charity, not just regular old love, but fervent charity, fervent brotherly love among yourselves. Why? So that, for charity can cover a multitude of sins. Yes, we do get the covering of God's blood and His love in our life, but how much more better is it whenever I can walk past you and feel the covering of my multitude of sins? Let's learn to love. Aren't you glad that no matter that status, that we can receive and feel that love of God, not just from Him, but from each other? 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says it this way. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Let us love one another. Let us learn to love as He loves us. Let us learn to love. Let us learn to let go. Let us learn to let go. I think it's important that we learn how to forgive. Forgiveness is the release on the part of the offended party of any expectation that a debt will be repaid or that an offender will receive punishment for an offense. This is hard to do. This is very hard to do. A little bit of that love has to come into play, right? A little bit of that trust has to come into play. When we learn to let go and forgive, it's hard. It's going to take a lot of love to do that. We should learn to forgive like the Lord. We should learn to let go like the Lord. There is a passage in Exodus when Moses is on the mountain of God and the children of Israel are down at the bottom, and the Lord is giving the Ten Commandments and all the other laws to Moses. And Moses is saying, oh, I want to see you, Lord, right? So he kind of tucks him into the cleft of the rock, and the Lord passes before him. And in Exodus 34, we hear it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Some commentaries will tell you that when it says keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, that what they're talking about is God's mercy and forgiveness lasting for 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations. We're talking about the God in the Old Testament that's wiping out the Canaanites. His love, His forgiveness lasts for 1,000 generations. He knew how to show us how to forgive. He knew how to show us that it's gracious and loving and forgiveness that only He can give. The Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3:12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're to put on mercy. We're to put on long-suffering and forgiveness as the elect of God, the chosen people of God. The Apostle John tells us in 1 John 1 that if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God that He's able to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, folks. Think about that. That forgiveness that He's able to do to reach down and pick us up and pull us out and set us on a straight path, that's something that we can do in exchange to others. Imagine the release that you can have if you learn to let go. I'm not talking about Frozen with Anna and Elsa and all those folks. You may be thinking that, but I'm not. I'm talking about forgiveness. If we could learn to let go and forgive like Jesus, we'd be in a much better place. Learn to linger. You may have noticed an L pattern here. Learn to to linger. This is the last one I want you to think about. Psalms 25:5 says this: "Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day." If we learn to linger in the truth of God's word, it will teach us and guide us to salvation. Psalm 27:14 says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." If we learn to linger in the presence of God, he'll strengthen our hearts when we need strength, and he'll give us courage when we need it to face the day. If we learn to linger, we will get strength. Psalm 40, like I read earlier, says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." Micah 7:7 says, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, and what my God will hear me." If we can learn to linger for the Lord, he will hear our cry. The children of Israel lingered for 400 years in Egypt, and he heard their cry. Right? If we learn to linger, he will hear your cry. Galatians 5:5 says this: "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." If we learn to linger in the Spirit, we will find our hope of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. Probably one of the best things to linger for is the greatest miracle of all, like Jesus told them to do in Acts chapter 1. Before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. He said, linger. Just hang out a little bit. You got Passover. Wait a few days. Pentecost is coming, right? Just linger. Just wait a little bit. Hang out for a while. Think about me. Linger with me. It was told to them that it wasn't for them to know the times or the seasons there in Acts chapter 1, but instead to wait and receive the power of the Holy Ghost, to be a witness, to spread the good news of the way, right? It's not ours to know the times or the seasons right now. We're not going to understand it anyway, right? His ways are above our ways. And yes, I know it's obvious that we can see signs of his appearing, and, you know, we can be encouraged by that, right? But I'm going to encourage you to linger in the presence of the Lord. Let's linger. Let's learn to linger in his presence. So, did you learn them anything at school today? It's an awkward question, right? Did you learn them anything at school today? But I hope you learned something tonight. Maybe it was to listen. Is God trying to speak to you about something? Is he whispering a still small voice? Is he speaking through an earthquake? Is he speaking through a fire, a burning bush? Is he speaking to you in your sleep? Are you being awakened at 2 a.m. for no reason, right? Learn to listen. Maybe you need to learn to laugh. Something you just need to laugh it off and turn it over to the Lord, right? Maybe you need to learn to lean, to trust the Lord. Is there something that we need to lean into the Lord and trust him about tonight? Something I got to let go of, right? I know I skipped love. Is there something I got to let go of? Something I need to forgive? Is there something, someone that needs my forgiveness that only I can give? Is there someone that I need to be forgiven? Is there myself that I need to let go of and forgive myself? Is there someone, maybe it's I need to learn to love. Maybe I need to learn to just swallow the pride and love them like Jesus loved them. Or do I need to learn to linger? Is there something that the Lord has been dealing with you about and he's asking you just to wait, just to linger? Just come on, sit at my feet for a little bit. Just linger with me. Wait it out. I'm okay being silent for a little bit. Ask my wife. I can be quiet. I can linger. I can listen. I can wait. What are you learning to prepare you to do? You know, we don't learn things just to put them aside to never use them again. I don't learn a new skill at work just to say, check, and then put it aside and never use it, right? A new application on the computer. The carpenter doesn't learn how to use the plane and then say, well, I'll never need that again, right? The chef never learns how to make the perfect hollandaise sauce and says, Eggs Benedict, who needs them? Right? We don't just learn things to put them aside and never use them anymore. We learn things to help us fulfill a purpose. We learn things to help us to be used of the Lord. Let's stand together. So I want to, they're going to sing this song, and think about it. What did you learn today at school? That the Lord can take these tools that He's given you and use you. That after we've learned what we needed to learn, that we can take God's word and bring forth the fruit that only He can provide so that we can be useful. Let's sing this song.
Anything, Lord, you can use.
Let this be your closing prayer tonight.
Take my hands, Lord, take my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can
as it's been suggested, make this chorus your prayer. Or if you don't want to sing, just close your eyes. Offer your life to Him afresh and anew. Time, would you sing to Him this prayer, and then we'll pray together. So true. Would you extend your hands heavenward and just in your own words, as Abraham of old said, here am I. Lord Jesus, we do offer ourselves, our lives as a sacrifice this night. We know that your love for us is great, strong, unconditional. You're accepting of us. It's your will. It's your plan and purpose to use us who have been born of water and spirit to fulfill your purpose. And we thank you for that. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for listening to us and helping us day by day. We do appreciate it. Amen. Amen. Thank God for these tremendous insights, Brother Adam Dennis. If I may say so, we're glad you chose us all those years ago and made this church your home. And he has had quite an impact upon us in a lot of different ministries, men's ministry particularly, and then teaching. And we appreciate these insights. And I think we would agree that all six of these qualities, I jotted them down, is a continuing education program, right? I don't know that we're ever going to feel like we've mastered them until Jesus comes, or feel we're perfect in these areas. There's lots of tests. Sometimes we get a better grade than others, don't we? But if the grade is not quite what we want, we don't get discouraged. We'll try again and make sure that we are continuing to grow. So thank you so much for these insights. Would you lift your hands one more time and just thank him for his word this time to your heart and these insights. Lord, we appreciate your word, and the book of Proverbs, certainly, upon which this was launched, is filled with wisdom and guidance for us. It's your inspired word, and we thank you for it. I ask that you would help us to continue to glean from these insights, things that have been taught this very night. Help us day by day, Jesus, to apply and put to use these things that we are learning. In Jesus' name, amen. And everyone said amen.